going to work through what has been called the parable of the young man who left the father's house, the prodigal son. And I'm going to start really fast. As soon as I start reading, I'm going to start opening up the scriptures, so you're going to want to have your minds engaged so you can pick up some of the details that I try to share with you this morning. If you have a chance today, we do need your support. We always need your support to pay the bills. And how many still praying about our project in Pakistan? We're praying about buying a van for the kids' home, the orphanage that we help in Pakistan. The total cost is going to be about $12,000. We've not yet committed to it, but we're praying about it to see if that's something that God wants us involved in. If you haven't been praying with me to see what God's direction is, please start doing that because we don't want to just jump up and do something. We want to have God's direction. So be praying about the orphanage in Pakistan. Luke chapter 15, I'll begin reading with verse 11. Jesus is speaking and he gives this parable, and I'm going to attempt to work through at least half of it this morning and kind of open up what impact it has and how we apply it to our modern lives, to our modern Christian lives. How does this parable apply? Jesus begins by saying a certain man had two sons. Now, just that phrase right there tells us something. This certain man having two sons, it means the certain man is the father, and he's got two sons. And it is symbolic of God, our heavenly Father, and two different categories of Christians that he has. They are already in relationship with their father. This is not people getting saved. They're already in relationship with the father. And it says that the younger of them said to the father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days hence after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Let's pray. Father, we just acknowledge you this morning, Lord. Nothing can be done here except the moving and the operation of your spirit. And so we ask you firstly, Lord, that you would bless the offering that we receive today here in the worship room across the online experience, that these families, these individuals that support this ministry, that you would return it back upon them by blessing their lives, blessing their families, and blessing their health, bless their children. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name, and I ask you, Lord, that you would use this vessel today, that you would speak to your people, help me to make a certain sound, and to do justice to your scriptures. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. And the church said, amen. So the certain man has two sons, indicative of two different categories of Christians. And the younger son, meaning this was the son that was less mature. Now understand, neither one of these sons is mature. Neither one of them have the heart that the father has. But the younger son is even less mature than the older son. And the younger son comes to the father, and you might recognize his prayer, "Father, give me." Do you recognize that prayer? This is a problem that we have throughout Christianity now. We come to God as though he's the genie in the bottle, and we just come to him when we want something. And usually we forget to go back and thank him if he gives us that thing. But you find whole ministries now that are built upon this premise that everything is simply get the blessings of God. The blessings, the blessings, the blessings. There's no dealing with the sin that we're so prone to commit. There's no dealing with sanctification growing into the likeness of Christ. There's no crucifixion of the carnality of our lives. It's just, "Father, give me. Give me. I know you gave me one, but give me another one." And so this is what the younger, immature son was petitioning the father for. And if you're in this area where your prayers are primarily, "Father, give me," it's okay. You can come to the throne of grace. You can ask God for what you need. But there's a whole lot more to a prayer life than "give me." You can say that a little louder. There's a whole lot more to a prayer life. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave us the model prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. But when he prayed, if you'll go look, you'll notice the first phrases of that prayer is just an acknowledgement of who God is. God, you are the Almighty. You are the Savior and the Sanctifier. You are our shield and our buckler. You are the healer. You are the one that raises us up, that opens doors, that closes doors. You are he. And so the first part of any prayer should be just an acknowledgement. God, I'm just thankful that I can come into your presence. You are the great I am. But this son, he comes and he says, Father, give me. I want my blessings. I know I have an inheritance, but I want it now. I can't wait till you die. I got some things I want to do. He said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And the father divided unto them, both sons, his living. It means he gave both sons, he gave them their inheritance before he even died. Now, you'll notice that the elder son, although not completely mature, he did not leave the father's house. And this is the first step to maturing in Christ, is you don't leave the presence of God. Let me say it differently. You don't leave the Father's presence. You can come to a church and stay all day long, but that does not mean you came into the presence of God. The presence of God is the secret place of the Most High. It's a place that you lose track of everything that's going on in your carnal world, in your everyday life, and you're just solely focused upon him. That's where communion truly happens at. But this younger son, he said, give me my blessings. And as soon as he got his blessings, it says, not many days after. Catch that now. This is one of the reasons God loves you so much that he won't give you everything you're asking for. Because he already knows that if he gives you every blessing that is in his heart to give you, it will not be many days afterwards that you'll build you a highway straight to hell. That's why if you're praying for this, you probably shouldn't be. But God, just let me hit the lottery. You will mess your life up. It takes discipline to have money. You'll go buy all the bling you want, get you one of these exotic Teslas that, you know, owe $200,000 and $300,000, get you a 9-bedroom house, and there's nobody there but you. And you will just turn your whole world upside down because it takes discipline to walk in the blessings and the promises of God and to do so successfully. So as soon as this young, immature Christian, he got all of the blessings that God had for him. And it says, it didn't take many days. And the younger son gathered all his blessings together and took a journey into a far country. In other words, he severed himself from the Father's presence. And saints, this is what happens. This is not just a parable. This is what many of us have done in our own lives. I remember many years ago, the Lord was blessing me and Sister Lincoln. We weren't pastoring. We were just beginning our walk of sanctification. And back in those days, Sister Lincoln and I was making a lot of money. And I remember one year she had bought me a watch and a ring. It was a Whitnour watch. It was about $5,000. And so then we had to get the ring to match it. And it had a black face with a diamond at 12 high, and the ring had one diamond in it. Man, it was the bomb. And so that same year we bought, and it was a big deal back then. It was called the Toyota Cressida. It was the top of the line Toyota. And we also bought another Toyota, both of them brand new. Man, we were just rolling in money. We were doing it. So, of course, I drove the Cressida, the nice luxury car, with my $5,000 ring and watch hanging out the window. The blessings. But I remember, all of a sudden, there were Sunday mornings when I should have been in church. I'm out turning corners, showing off my clean Cressida, pearl white. Not many days hence. See, we're children. We're not fully mature yet. We make really basically the same mistake. It may be a different flavor, but it's the same mistake because of our immaturity. And it says it didn't take him long. He went into a far country. He severed himself from the presence of God. There is no bigger mistake that you can make than to sever yourself from the presence of God. Now, let me be clear. The church house is not the presence of God. You might meet the presence of God there, but wherever you go, you have the capacity to walk in the presence of God. It means that you are walking in the Spirit. And you're, at the same time, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Let me be clear. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you are not walking in the Spirit. Are we clear on that? It's one or the other. You can't do them both. So he went into a far country, and it says here that he wasted all the blessings of God on riotous living. Now, when you read down in here, his brother defines what he was doing. He said, he wasted your living with harlots. I mean, he was running with prostitutes. No doubt he was drinking liquor. And I believe he's probably smoking dope too. Just blowing through the money, just blowing through the money just like that with no regard, no conscience of one day. See, here's the mistake we make. We think that because we get saved, the blessings of God just forever flow. They don't. The blessings of God only flow while you are in Christ Jesus, while you're walking in his Spirit, while you're living in his presence. God has never given you blessings to go out into the world and do what the world is doing. He will cut you off. And see, that it's we make a mistake because God is not like a pimp. When a woman leaves a pimp, he says, right now, leave your credit cards, your coat, your clothes, leave everything right here. You go to where you went. God don't do that. He don't take back nothing. When he gives you something, that's yours. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But if you leave the presence of God, it doesn't mean that he has to continue that flow towards you. Are you with me? And it not many days hence, you find out that all the blessings that you so easily enjoyed, all of a sudden they start running low. Start having problems on the job. Health seems to go up and down. Marriage is all the way upside down. All of a sudden, things start changing because it was the blessings of God that was holding you stable. But when you leave his presence, so it didn't take many days. He went into a far country. He wasted his substance on riotous living. Verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, meaning that all his blessings was gone. Meaning at one time he had friends all around him. Man, God has blessed you so good. You were just flowing. But when the flow stopped and the money ran out and all the blessings was gone, he wasted his entire substance on riotous living. When he had spent all, here it is. There arose a mighty famine in the land. In one moment, he went from abundance to lack. A mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. He had all the blessings of God, and in just a little while, he had none of the blessings of God. Says this is all through your Bible. And again, this is not being in the church house. This is being in the presence of God. That's where our security and our happiness is founded. You can look, there was a man in the Bible by the name of Jonah. And Jonah was a legitimate prophet. He had prophesied even prior to the book of Jonah. He was a successful prophet. But one day, the father told his son, Jonah, I've got a plan for your life. I want you to go to Nineveh. I got a job for you. And the Bible says that Jonah said, I'm going to Tarshish to flee from the presence of the Lord. Whenever you do that, you're in trouble. You know, if all the backsliders in Dallas, Texas were to just go to church, this church would be packed over twice over. But so many are fleeing. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. But God's got a way of helping us get ready. Listen, once you get saved, you bought with a price. You're no more your own. And God don't just let you just walk away. His hand is on you. You can go out drinking. You can go out smoking dope. The Holy Spirit will go right down beside that liquor and tell you, I'm married to a backslider. You can't get away. He got you. And Jonah, he got on the ship and he's headed the opposite direction of Nineveh. And God said, he sent a wind and a fish. He said, wind, go stop that preacher. Stop him dead in his tracks. And then he told the fish, go swallow him up and bring him back over this way. And Jonah was in, he said, man, it was like I was in hell. Let me tell you something. God can touch your life and he can hang you over hell on a rotten stick and put the fear of God in your life. I remember as a young Christian, I was just beginning my walk of sanctification. And I, you know, all of us fumble at the beginning. And I'm trying to walk with God with this foot and walk with Satan with this foot. And I'm in church on Sunday and I'm trying to smoke dope on Thursday. And I remember one time I was in the back of the church and church mother, the pastor's wife, she said, Brother Lincoln, come up here in front of everybody. And I didn't know what was up, so I walked up there. She had a Bible in hand. She said, put your hand on this Bible. So I did it. And all of a sudden, God spoke right through her mouth. God said, thus saith the Lord, you will obey me or die. And she said it again, thus saith the Lord, you will obey me or die. And saints, before it was over, I was so addicted to crack cocaine, I was right at death's door with my toes over the lips of hell. That's what my life came to, right at death's door. And that's when suddenly I figured, I better get right with God. I better live for the Lord. What are you preaching, preacher? I'm preaching that once God puts his hand on you, he's not going to let you go. You can clown if you want to. But God's got a way of bringing reality to your life in such a way that you understand is you got to obey God. You got to live for God. And so that's what happened to this boy. All once at one time, man, the blessings of God are just flowing. And all of a sudden, he is in want. And the Bible says he's in such want, he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And what this means is that instead of relying on the presence and the blessings of the Father, he started looking to flesh. He started looking to other men to provide the blessing that only the Father can provide. Oh, some of us are making this job. You think your job is the source of your blessing. You better get wise. They will throw you out in the let the budget just go a little bit awry, you gone. Let Mr. Doge just walk by your office. You gone. And here's the reality. Our jobs were never meant to be recognized as the source of our blessings. God said, I will meet all of your need in accordance to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not the job. You can sneer if you want to, but I'm telling you, God will turn you out in a moment's time. As a matter of fact, God would have already hurt some of us, but we got families and God knows we got families. But he wants all of our attention. It's time to come back into the presence of God. There's fullness of joy in the presence of God. You know why we're miserable? You know why we walk around with anxieties? Honey, if you don't get some joy in you, the devil will be done killed you. You'll have high blood pressure, diabetes, and everything else because you have no joy. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he said laughter doeth thee good like a medicine. You can tell, do you walk like this? The attitude on the inside, is this what it is? You big baby. And put your chest up and walk. I'm a child of the King. I may not be perfect, but God, I got access to the throne of grace. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and I can cry out for help and mercy in the time of need. And I'm not going to walk around with my chin down and all depressed. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he, the citizen, sent this Jewish boy into the fields to feed the swine. A swine is an unclean animal. Jews don't even mess with them. But this boy was in such dire straits, all the blessings being gone. I'm going to have to do the unthinkable. I'm going to have to go make a living doing the unthinkable. And the brother that he connected himself to, the citizen he connected himself to, didn't care nothing about him because he wasn't providing no food. The Bible goes on to say he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. This tells you how badly his life has turned around. At one time, he's flowing in the blessings. The next time, he's thinking about eating some of the hog food. And again, the swine is unclean. That's an unclean animal. And the food that they fed him was the lowest grade food because it was just for an unclean beast. He said, man, I might have to start munching on this because I'm hungry. And no man gave unto him. No corporation gave unto him. His job didn't call him back. Even those that were friends with him to help him spend his money, they wouldn't help him out. He's on his own. Saints, it's a terrible thing when you got nobody to turn to and you can't turn to God. That is a horrifically horrible place to be in. I don't care how hard life gets. I want to at least be able to turn my face to God. I mean, even when the prophet came into, who was the prophet? I think it was Isaiah. I'm pulling this up from memory. I think he went into Hezekiah, was about to die. And he went in and said, "But you number your days, set your house in order, you're fixing to die." Man, he got nowhere to turn. The Bible said he turned his face to the wall. He began to cry out to God. And Isaiah was walking out. He said, "What? What?" God spoke to Isaiah, "Go back and tell him I just added 15 more years to his life." You always want to be able to call on God. You always want to be able to call on his grace and his mercy. And this boy, when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants in my father's house had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" How many's ever been hungry? Man, being hungry ain't cool. I mean, it's cool if you can eat if you want to. But when you're hungry and you can't eat even though you want to, that's not cool at all. He said, "I will rise and go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Now notice carefully what's going on here. The son didn't suddenly mature. He didn't suddenly mature and said, "Oh, I now have a father's heart. I love my father. Let me go back to my father." No, 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 no. He was hungry and he knew there was food at the father's house. That's the only revelation he got. And so when he went back to the father, it wasn't because he was in love with the father. It was because the father had food. What am I saying? We mature very slowly as Christians. We don't learn fast. You don't go from the horrible pit to the mountaintop in a week. It takes a long time for us to learn, and we learn by trial and failure. We learn through our abundance of mistakes, and it's okay. That's the process. But the important thing is that God put his hand on that boy's life. So that boy made a decision. It's safer at the Father's house. It's safer in God's presence. You know, things can come upon your life so quickly that sometimes they can burden you to such a degree that they can cause medical issues. Especially if you're, you know, you're all tense and you're strung out. And, you know, some of us get so engaged in our job that if anything goes wrong with the job, our blood pressure goes up. And that is what it is. But you're going to need the presence of God to regulate your whole man. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he will regulate what's going on the inside. Even the stuff that our physicians don't always understand, the Holy Spirit does understand it, and he can fix a lot of things according to his will. He's not going to fix everything, but man, he'll fix some things, and I'm good with that. Because when your body's broke, it's not good. When your body's not functioning 100%, I don't know about you. I don't like that. He said, "I rise and go to my father's house." And he began to confess, "I have sinned against heaven and before you, Father. and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of the hired servants. What the son was looking for is, I want punishment for my mistakes. And understand something, as a Christian, there's no punishment for you. All your punishment was delivered on the cross 2,000 years ago. There's no punishment for you. You don't have to sit in the back of the church. You don't have to take 40 lashes. You don't have to do a 10-day fast. None of that. You just come boldly to the throne of grace and say, God, I was wrong and you was right. And God, I need you to help me, please. Holy Spirit, I need you to continue to sanctify me. And it goes on to say in verse 20, and he arose and he came to his father. He had this long confession in his mouth that, oh, God, just make me one of the bond slaves. Just don't make me a son. Make me one of the bond slaves, but one that gets to eat some food. It says, and he came to the father, but when he was a great way off, he hadn't even made it yet. The father saw him. Let me tell you something. The father sees you. He sees you where you're at. He hadn't forgotten you. You may be going through the valley of death right now. You may be going through a dark place, but the father sees you and he hasn't forgotten you. The father saw him and he had compassion. Passion is not pity. Pity is just like, oh, poor him. Compassion means you can do something about it. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. No punishment. Now, this boy is standing there. No doubt he got hog mud all over him. He smells like hogs. He's got hog food on the corner of his mouth. He hadn't brushed his teeth or combed his hair. He's a mess. But the father fell upon him. This is the love of God. Fell upon him and hugged him and gave him a kiss. And he commanded the servants. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to call thy son, looking for the punishment. But the father said to the servants, bring the best robe. Get that now. Don't just bring a robe. Don't just cover him. Bring the best robe we got. That's your inheritance. Even when you come back from backsliding, even if you've been away from the presence of God, you might have not left the church, but you've been out of the presence of God, and you come back to the presence of God, give him the best robe. He goes on to say, put a ring on his hand. Now, in those days, the ring, it was a family signet on the ring. And so whenever you went to the store, whatever you bought, they had hot wax. You just pressed it with that ring. That was like the credit card. That means your family will pay that. He said, put a ring on his finger. Put some shoes on his feet. And kill the fatted calf. My son that was dead is alive. Listen, when you leave the presence of God, you're on your own. You're dead to God. You're on your own. You've left. Now understand, Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. And my father is greater than I, and no man can pluck you out of my father's hand. But Satan can convince you and I to just simply voluntarily walk out of God's hand. And when you do, you're on your own. He still loves you. But you're going to have to come to yourself and realize the real nourishment, that the real nourishment of the soul is in the Father's presence. That's why Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In fact, he said, except you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, you have no life in you. And I know there's many people, especially since COVID, said, well, I'll just sit at home and read my Bible. That don't work. If you've been out from 12 and 18 months, you can already tell you backsliding. Be honest with yourself. If you've been out that long, where's my webcast? If you've been out that long, you can tell you're not the same. Your prayers are not as fervent. Your love is not as fervent. Come back into the Father's presence. We're not trying to fill chairs. We're trying to bless your soul. Come back to the Father's presence. Hallelujah. He's not angry at you. He's not angry at you. He'll love you. He'll fall upon you, and kiss you. Put a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, a robe on your back. But come back to the Father's presence. Finally, he says, for this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they all begin to make merry. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like when an unbeliever comes to the Lord, all heaven rejoices. But one of God's own children come back into his presence, there's rejoicing. Hallelujah. There's rejoicing. Glory to God. I've run out of time. I wish I had another half hour to preach. We'd finish up this parable. But I've run out of time. But saints, if you've not been walking in the presence of God, nobody's beating you up. This parable doesn't beat you up. It says simply come back into the presence of God. He will receive you. You belong to him. And he will restore the blessings in your life that over time has been leached away. Come back to the Father's house. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just love you this morning and we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for who you are. Oh, God, your mercy, your long-suffering, your compassion, your goodness and your grace. Lord, no man could know anything about you except you reveal it. And you've revealed it through your Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you today. Now, Father, I ask you now for a moving of your Holy Spirit upon every heart and upon every life. Here in the worship room, across the webcast, Lord, just gently lay upon that person's heart. Lay upon that sister's heart, that brother's heart. Lord, let them feel your love. Let them feel your desire for them to come closer. Don't live your life in a far country. Don't waste yourself with riotous living. Come closer. Come back to the presence of the Father. And all over this room, I'm going to ask you if you would, all over this room, if you stand to your feet with me, if you're able this morning. You know where your life is at. I'm not your judge. You be your own judge. If there's areas, pockets of your life, you know the Holy Spirit is, he doesn't have a latitude in that area of your life that he wants. You deal with that right now. Just lift it up to the top of your heart. Give that to God. Lord, I need help in this area. Lord, I've grown cold in this area of my life. I've grown cold. God, I'm not doing the things that I know that I should be doing. But more than all, I'm in a far country. I'm so far away from you, God. Lord, would you draw me closer? Lord, would you draw me by your Spirit? God, I'm weak. I can't make it back to you by myself. Come on, just reach out. Be honest with God. I'm weak, Lord. I'm a weak man. I'm a weak woman. I need your help. I need your help. I want to be a flame of fire. I want to be closer to you. Just reach out. God respects your prayer. Just talk to God out of your heart, ever how you know how to talk to him. And let him know, God, I need help coming closer. I need help.
Just thank you. Oh, Father, we thank you because you're present. We thank you because we can come to you and just let you know how we truly are. And you are faithful and you are good and you always have a way out. So, Father, we just thank you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We honor you because, Father, we know that the safest place to be, Lord, is in your presence, Lord. So help us to stay there, Lord. Help us to see you for who you are. You are the present help. You are the friend, the life source that we need. Father, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for the truth. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Amen. That was a great on-time word. Amen. Amen. At this moment, we're going to go ahead and worship and give. So if you haven't given, please go ahead and please feel free to do so. Several ways to give. And if you are online, you can definitely text to give or scroll down and hit the donate button. And of course, welcome to our first time visitors. If this is your first time here, you are welcome. We would love to have you back. So please do well and visit us once again. And if you didn't get a chance to stop by the welcome station for your visitor box. Well, bow your heads real quick. Let me just pray and I'll dismiss. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for truth. We thank you because, Father, we know that your truth is life. And we need that life daily. Father, as we leave, Father, help us to stay in your presence. Help us to carry your presence with us, Lord. Help us to truly, Lord, to just submit to your hand, Lord. And we know that this walk is a long, long walk. So help us to be patient and to not see ourselves by the times that we stumble, but to see ourselves from your eyes. You have called us sons. You have called us yours. So Father, help us to walk in that truth daily. Father, we love you. We honor you, and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. You are dismissed. See you guys on Wednesday for Bible study.